What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Hey, what's up? It's your girl Tamara, a.k.a. Girl from Harlem.
It's your cousin Juju.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to the God Show, everybody. And today we have a very special guest, my OG, my Virgo brother, the leader of the biggest DJ crew in America by far, the number one shit talker. And the number one shit talker, always got something to say. That's why I love him so much, because he is a Virgo to the T. He holds us accountable.
He retired.
So we got him coming out of retirement. Uh-oh. And he got some other things he's going to show us on the show. But I want everybody to give it up for our great brother, my great brother, Tony Neal. Let's go. This is. I'm going to let y'all know something. When I was coming up in the game, these were the guys that I needed to know. Matter of fact, these are the guys that I needed to know my name. Mm. And, you know, I remember the first time Tony said what's up to me. We was in New Orleans. Rock City was performing at that Convict thing. And he said what's up to me. And he did his thing. What's up? And then Rock City performed. Then he came to me. He was like, what's up? Y'all did good. You remember that, right? That's the first time we started getting cool.
When Akon introduced me to them. And it was wild. The room was just wild. It was just like DJs and really it was just DJs and artists.
It was a core retreat. Yep.
To the world. Ain't I first drop. They signed Lil Duval right there. We had the whole clique there.
What was your role in that room? Like, were you playing the music or you just working the room?
I was just going around greeting, making sure the DJ was cool, and going around making sure the artist was cool. Really, like, you know, making sure everybody, this is this person, meet this person, meet this day. That's what I do when I'm at the retreats.
What made you want to start the core DJs? Like, what was it started out of?
When I started the core, before 04 was the idea, the perception.
Mm-hmm.
But in 01 or 02, I was a technician.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the concept of the technician, but I didn't like the way it was ran.
Mm.
And so I was like, and it wasn't, shout out to Scrap Dirty and shout out to LP, shout out to Charles Dixon. It wasn't on them, it was the particular person that they relied on to do things for them, and it wasn't going the way it was supposed to go. And I felt like the idea was good, you know, but I wanted more of like a one-stop shop.
Mm.
So when the core started, believe it or not, and I'm just gonna tell you this, the core didn't start as a DJ crew, it started as a union. It was something that I wanted Khaled, Flex, Clue, Drama, like all of a collective, the core. That's what the name came
from.
So it was supposed to be a collective of us.
Mm.
And we go back to our perspective people, because after I stopped being a technician, I was with Violator for a minute.
So
with Violator.
Chris Lighty now.
Chris Lighty.
Chris, I was with Chris and him. So then, but the core idea didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned into DJ organization. You know, and so it got so big once I started planning the events, like the retreats.
Yeah.
Once I started doing that, and I came out to buy that, I said I can't split my time being a buy that is an idea, this brand that
I'm
bigger than what I think, you know what I'm saying? And that's where the core conception came in 04, and it started, but the whole idea was put together, believe it or not, standing on South Beach.
Mm.
Dreams are made.
We came up with it, and like, I'm going to do this. And Big Timber was the first person in the core.
Oh, wow.
He was the first DJ in the core. Finesse, put Finesse as the president. And we just kind of rolled from there. I had publicists and labels. And, you know, I had wanted artists. I just wanted, you know, that whole thing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to just be a DJ crew. I wanted to definitely involve more women. Because the women, you know, people didn't realize back then in 05 that the women were in the background pushing the buttons and making stuff move. Yeah. It was more the men in the front and the women were complacent where they was at.
Yeah.
But I saw that this was going to be, when the minute these women going to take over. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. So I put them in position, you know.
I wanted to ask you, are you a DJ?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, I always thought, when I came in the game, I always saw you as the leaders, like kind of like the brainchild behind the concept of a DJ. That's how I always looked at you, because you was always the guy to understand. Nah. Oh, you like
not real. Not for real.
Scratching and all that?
Yeah. Oh, stop, Tony, don't let Tony. We let the clip go today. The clip got to let go today. By the way, y'all don't know. Wait till y'all get him grooving.
Not for real. I'm just
Tony
saying,
is, no. Follow. Y'all should follow him too. Yeah, Tony's page is so funny.
Yeah, for sure.
So let me ask you. So you always felt like you were, to me, my perception of you was like you always had the plan, right? You was always like there was a million DJ crews. How come yours was the biggest? And you were doing retreats. And even now, people don't understand, you still do these Zoom calls to this day, mm-hmm. connecting the culture to all the DJs. So my question to you is, where do you think the economics of the DJ is going? Like their place, their respective role in hip hop, like, what do you think it's going to be?
I think they got kind of lost in like around 2013, 14, 15 to the internet, to platforms and shit. I think DJs kind of lost confidence in how fast the internet was breaking records and how slow they weren't.
Yeah.
And so it took them a minute to catch up, you know. You got to stay in tune. You got to stay involved. So I don't think that the DJ at that time was as involved as they are now in the last year or two with online and the internet and stuff like that. Right now, believe it or not, it's a whole resurgence of, man, we got to get our shit to the DJs.
Yeah, it feel like that now.
No, that's real.
Yeah.
It's real. Like, as you could tell, you know, the bots ain't been working for them. You know, so, you know, it's time to, you know, come on back home. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, so you know, it's a. I think the place of the DJ, they had lost their place for a minute, and a lot of cats just weren't keeping up.
How did you?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
How did you get support from the labels when you initially came up with the core and you said we want to, like, this is a service we can provide? How did you get that initial support?
Well, I didn't start off. I was going to the Power Summit with Renee, like everybody else.
Yeah.
And it kind of just, you know, they just needed somewhere different to move, you know, certain projects that they had that kind of didn't fit that. I really started for independence, you know, and then once they saw that, like you just said, once you saw the independence moving, he's like, okay, well, damn, maybe we need to go over there and see what's going on with these DJs at the core. You know, any given time, you got 400, 500 DJs at the retreat.
Just that's 500 DJs, not people. Yeah. That's crazy.
Just DJs.
What happens at a DJ retreat though? Like what does a day look like if I attend a DJ retreat?
A day at the retreat.
I'm smiling because he's smiling.
I've never heard anything like that.
Now or okay, the reason
give us back in the day. We want to know back in the day.
The reason I named it a retreat in the first place. I named it a retreat in the first place because DJs ain't never on time for conferences.
You had to figure out a way to trick them into what they were attending.
They
did
a core retreat because you know they said core conference, they wouldn't get.
They not gonna be on.
Niggas ain't walking around no name tag stuck on their shirt. Hi, my name is none of that shit.
That's real.
So I call it a retreat. We make them comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So the more comfortable that you make people, and you have stuff for them, I build the retreat from the bottom up. So I usually start with the night shit, strip club shit,
yeah,
party, panels, maybe a showcase, introduction. I build it from the bottom up. I don't go from the top down.
And by the way, everything cost. That's what Tony built it. Labels, that's, you want to know relationships? Labels needed him. So when labels wanted him, he was basically like, you want to come fuck with me? That's cool. I'm doing a retreat. Send your artist down. Send a check down and send those. And then we'll put them on our case. So we're performing in front of 500 DJs. But we're also performing in front of other artists. So we're, you know, it's kind of like competition in the room. Like, we're going to bust these.
Not for sure.
So it was that because the DJ's going to react.
And what made you say that? It's so funny going back to the story about Young LA and them. They just turned the damn room out.
Yeah.
They just turned it in. So they came up with this record, Wave.
Yep.
Remember that shit?
Yeah, right. If you're happy, you know it. Take your rag out and wave.
Man, we were waving and it was so crazy in the room that They jumping on Akon, jumping on niggas' backs. And yeah. It was wild.
It's the first time they ever heard this song.
And they that's what they did right there.
Wow.
Yeah. First time they did
what? Like, that's what the DJ Retreat 4 was. You go, like, by the way, my opinion on DJs was they overplayed their hand. They were so important at one point in time, but you really need all of them to be on point, not one. Like, I can't have one DJ.
I'm gonna keep it. I don't want to rub.
No, go ahead. No, we rubbed it wrong today. Let's go, T. Neil.
Don't hold back now.
Right. If a building is controlling what you can play, you're not breaking records.
Hold on. Say that again for the people at home that don't understand.
So if you're working at a radio station and
you can't play what you want,
and you're talking about you this big record breaker. And, nigga, you only playing some shit one time, two times, but you expect these plaques and all this electric shit.
That's what I mean.
It's unrealistic.
Like people say DJ Khaled broke Rick Ross hustling himself. Memorial Day weekend, whatever year
dropped.
He
played that shit too.
So, no, let me tell you. Go ahead. Let me tell you. He got fired a couple of times for that shit. Like, Khaled got fired fucking with that record. I did what I did in Houston for the record. You know, for E-Class and for Ross, and because the situation wasn't solidified at Def Jam yet.
For sure.
So I had him come do,
yes,
you know, the retreat number 4 in Houston and all that. And it's so crazy, it was the same day that Cool C was supposed to be executed. And it was like the 10-year anniversary for Biggie's death. Mm-hmm. Same day, Thursday. And I remember that we was all like, we sitting around, because we was like the ones that brought the legends to the retreats. You know that. Like, sure, before everybody doing this Hip Hop 50, we was doing Hip Hop 50 shit already.
Yep.
And so breakdancing and bringing motherfuckers scratching back out, and we was doing all that kind of stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
And so we was just all so shook up waiting to see, damn, are they gonna kill this nigga tonight? It's gonna fuck up the retreat, you know, the Cool C.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Ross is up there performing, hustling over and over again on the podium. He did that shit like 8 times. But realistically, for real, the legend of that record being broke was Khaled being fired from 99 Jams.
I've never heard someone, one person get credit for one record, because I wasn't there.
I go crazy.
So I heard DJ Khaled himself broke Rick Ross hustling. That's why, for real. Like in Miami, they said everywhere you went, he made them play it back to back to back to back.
And listen, it was so crazy, man. It was a lot of people that participated in that on the outside, but the for somebody to be at a station, just got suspended and come back 2 days later and run it back. Like, I almost like, damn, did he lock the door? because he stood on that.
And to me, that's what the DJs are missing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Khaled made his bet, and look at, here we are 20 years later.
This is for me, like, I rearranged and did, like, the Cupid Shuffle was my record. A lot of people.
I know one that y'all broke. I'm gonna give you press for one that I seen you break firsthand. Was Throw Some D's.
Oh, for sure. That was our record.
First time I heard Throw Some D's was at your treat that you did at Compound.
Let me give it to you a deeper story. They gave me that record for our album that we was gonna put out. That's why we was going so hard for it. And then they took it back.
Oh,
I didn't know the business like that. You feel me? So we going crazy. Throw Some D's, Rich. We going crazy for this. And then we had it on the website for months. And then they couldn't figure out another record for him, so they took the record back from us.
That was hard too.
I seen you break that one firsthand. Like,
yeah,
I watched you, and I remember thinking like, damn. Because that was me. That was back when I was coming up, and I remember thinking like, damn, if you guys got Tony Neal, bro,
the whole system. You gonna break.
We did the whole thing
like that though. It was like that moment we had. We was like all those records. We was grabbing them like, put this in while we got this moving, do the next one. Like, I feel like any DJ and an artist too, if you got a moment, and this is now, because they're not doing the same thing with viral artists, just to kind of get off of it. If you have a moment, a viral moment, you got to back it up with another record and another record and another record to prove that you're a good artist, because they're not signing no more viral artists.
Nope. I got a question. When you were working, so Cupid Shuffle was interesting, right?
Yeah.
And the reason it's interesting, because it's not like, it doesn't fit into the club space, but it doesn't fit into, like, it's, when you hear it now, you know it's a cult classic at a cookout.
Nobody knew. Okay. I had been working on the street team with this label that did this is behind the scenes, with this label that bought the rights to the Casper slot out of Chicago. MOB, I want to say that was the name of the label. And we had Casper in, I was working on seeing how the people was, like all ages of this shit. And I'm seeing these people. I did two records like that. I'm going to get to that. I did two records. I did the Wobble, too.
Oh, shit.
Wobble.
You made two cookout classics.
No, for sure. I like watching DJs that don't like me still got to play my shit.
Ooh, good. With the face on.
I just laugh.
Why would a DJ like
you? Hold on.
You don't like me, nigga. I don't know. I like everybody.
But Tony,
they don't like me.
How did you get those records into? Because it's damn near like Bingo, right? When you think about Bingo, how Bingo is prominent in the hood.
Anything that all ages like will last forever. Anything that kids can dance off to and grow up and still dance to will last forever.
And I'm adding to that.
Swag Surfing and different records like that me and City and different people did the same thing. It was just a concept that we came up with. Anything that people could dance together.
I was about to say, that's the key. If we have to line up to do it together, it's going to work forever.
All the time.
No, but so I get that. What was your approach though in taking it to the market? Because it's like that's not what a record that you're gonna be like.
What I did was I introduced him as a new singer, in the midst of the Casper slide still being hot. I introduced him on the stage, and I was at the club in Milwaukee when this happened. And I introduced him on the stage as some new singer that nobody knew of. But I had already played the record, had their pump. He had never been nowhere before. He had never been out of town, like, especially up north to see that. And so we had made this little skit, and I was like, sing one of your favorite records, bro. Like, he was just somebody that was opening.
Yeah.
And he sung Piece of My Love by Guy Stopped. I said, nah, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
So now the audience is looking like, damn, they beefing. Mm-hmm. I said, nah, sing something else, bro. He started singing something else. I said, bro, listen, man, I ain't had you come up here to just, what the fuck is you doing? So our they quiet. Everybody like, damn, Tony. Even though they think I'm already crazy anyway. So he's like, damn, Tony cussing this dude out for nothing. I said, man, I'm going to give you one more chance, man. I swear to God, when that nigga hit They Say I'm a Rapper, man, they went crazy in the room. He got surrounded. And he just only said, They Say I'm a Rapper. The beginning of the record.
I say, bro. No.
He couldn't even stand up.
That's crazy.
Like, my nigga got emotional in the middle of the stage. But I'm like, you teach them to dance, like, keep going, like, let's go, because they already know the shit. They don't know you.
Got you.
And we kind of rearranged the record, you know what I'm saying, from what it was before, because it was just really him in the record. The beginning was like him and humming, talking about the year, King of Swing, and that's it. Until it turned into what it was.
Got you. That's hard.
Yeah, we did four songs on his album. He was trying to be a real artist.
Nah, for real. I'm just telling you.
He was a real artist. Like, we did four songs. We did like some really good shit, by the way. It was just, but Cupid Shuffle,
It was just a monster.
But I think, if his name wasn't Cupid, I think if the song was just called Hollywood Shuffle, not Cupid Shuffle,
yeah.
I think when you attach your name to a dance, like they're doing that dance, I think once that dance gets placed out, once that dance get played out, they kind of be like, you got to be old news.
Everybody thought I was crazy. A record that I almost got fired of, how I met Akon, was Belly Dancer.
Yep.
I was the first one to play Belly Dancer on the radio in Milwaukee at V100. And they were like, who the fuck is this DJ that keep playing it? And they put me in the office and asked me why I keep playing this record. I said, I like it.
Yeah.
But at the time, it reminded me of some young games.
I said, I like it.
Yeah.
And shit like that. So the girls were dancing, Belly Dance. Hey, ladies, my shit. I'm like, so I would play it every afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, they were supposed to sponsor my first retreat, and they didn't, and I stopped playing it. And Akon actually came and brought the money to me. That's how I met Akon.
Hand delivery.
That's hard, though.
Yeah, he came. He came to me.
By the way, you hear that, artist?
He was sitting at the bar.
Sometimes you got to do it yourself.
He was sitting at the bar. He came up to me looking like Boo, because he was smaller.
Yeah,
he was
smaller.
Hoodie on and shit. He said, you Tony Neal? I said, yeah. He said, I'm Akon, man. I said, oh, what's happening, man? You know, he said, right in my hand.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah.
And that's how I met him. And later on, I became the A&R because Kobe Adonis' first record was my record.
Yeah. Wow. So he was the A&R for so he was the A&R now, for us. Yeah.
I am back now.
Yeah.
A&R at Convict. So yeah.
That's hard.
I'm telling you.
Relationships, man. Like, just to sum it up, you know, people say I'm hard on people, man, but I see shit in people that they don't see in themselves first.
You know, say some Virgo shit.
Nah, for real. It's Virgo.
It's,
shit
it's a famous saying that Virgo they have for Virgos. They say every Virgo says, "Let me show you how to do that better." I like what you did, but let me show you how to do it better.
I see things in people they think they're doing good, but I see it, and it irritates me when they don't get it, and so it might come across brash, but I see something better in them.
Sound like me?
Laughing at him, right?
Sound like me?
That's him.
That's me. If I see something better than you, I'm not gonna let up on you, and I'm not gonna ever celebrate. That's the one thing I don't get about people. I don't celebrate. I don't understand how we celebrate.
Small ass victories, man. Instead of getting to the
Like people are celebrate that we got. Like to me, I'm not saying don't enjoy life, but I'm saying while you're in it, like I'm enjoying doing this, but don't think I'm not trying to be better at doing this. I'm not gonna sit here and do this, but I'm not gonna be better at it.
Yeah.
But I think so. This is what's interesting that you brought that up. I think what's interesting in that concept. As the leader, you should always have that mentality. But you also got to know that sometimes your troops, you got to celebrate the small victories for your troops to keep the morale up.
I let them celebrate, and then I'm in the background trying to make that celebration bigger. So yeah, they celebrate, get on a new station or something. I'm like, cool. Now how can we get you on another station? You like, got that one's cool. Niggas be making flyers and shit, and announcements. Nigga, you only on 30 minutes. What the fuck you on? Like you celebrating?
Nah, but
you know what I'm saying? Nah, for real. And I'd be like, listen. Talk about that shit once. Don't talk about it all month, my nigga.
That's real.
Let's go to some other shit.
Bro, you can tell how far someone is supposed to go by what they celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
I can tell how far you're going to go by where you celebrate. It's a famous Kobe Bryant interview where he's up 2-0, and they're like, are you happy? And he was like, why would I be happy? I got to win two more games before I get to the championship. I'm not celebrating being up 2-0. To me, that's what hurts us when we celebrate. Celebration is a chance where you stop looking.
You know
why
I like Jordan Love, man? Shout out to the Green Bay
Packers. For sure.
I'm from Milwaukee. So.
Yeah, I like Jordan Love, too.
Love that.
He took it like, what's next? He walked out of there. He didn't
celebrate. Dogging niggas right now, too.
He just walked out.
If you act like you've been here, they treat you like you've been here. No. If you act like you're not, been, if you act like you haven't been here, they're going to treat you like a stranger. And you're going to wonder, why they don't see me as that? Because you celebrating that.
Like
to me, it's like, and I disagree. I think when a team celebrates small wins, you should give them perspective. Celebrate now, but we still got way more work
to do. Stay focused.
Yeah.
Like to me, it's like, okay, so let me, if we are artists, when do we celebrate? I think you celebrate your platinum record, but I think you celebrate by taking a picture, but you celebrate by going and making 10 more.
Mm-hmm. What you do is you let everybody else do it for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm. Absolutely.
You know, let
them
else
talk.
Put it out there and then let them talk.
But we've interviewed people who said, like, that's one of their regrets, not living in the moment and actually enjoying those things because they're too busy trying to chase what's next that they didn't kind of get to sit in it.
They don't chase what's next. It's coming.
It's, yeah.
But so, to that point.
Yeah.
Because I get it. Like, trust me. Like, I'm not the one to boast or brag or celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
However, there's still moments where, like, in order to live in the moment and in order to progress, you have to understand where you are in that moment. Because if you don't understand it, you don't realize you got more to go get.
How do you not understand what you chasing?
So like artists, when you develop an artist, there's sometimes when you're sitting there, an artist doesn't realize that, like, oh, the first tour we were on, we were in Roach Motels. Now you on tour,
are you celebrating the better hotel?
No. So you celebrate now because the venue, no, I'm talking about, because generally that comes with the progression of your career too, because now the venue size is bigger.
I know niggas that will put, am I using too many niggas?
No, talk your shit.
Listen, I know niggas that will celebrate and post about that hotel, from living in, being in Roach Motel,
boom,
to going in a hotel, and they post this shit and post the damn statues at the hotel, take pictures by the hotel, or something. I actually know niggas that would do that.
See, that's crazy.
Hip hop is crazy.
That it is.
No, I got a question.
Pop music.
No, but I said,
hold on. Pop niggas don't do that.
Nope.
Mm. Hip hop niggas think they got to put everything out on Front Street for you.
And another thing is that we have to, like I said, when you're telling the world, what is your championship? Like, what is your championship? Like, I don't want a Gatorade shower because we went to the playoffs.
That's right.
I don't want you to pour Gatorade on me because we won our division. I want Gatorade shower when I'm supposed to have it, when the world is like, no one gets Gatorade but you. Because if you win your division, it's six other divisions. Everybody won a division, so we celebrate, like, so are they?
I just, maybe, to your, maybe somebody that never had victory before celebrate. Right. we'll celebrate.
But most of those people posting the pictures like, at the hotels have never been. Yeah.
So the Lions, like, literally, like, we talk about a celebration. Like, wow. You have to applaud the small victory going to the playoffs.
And the fans,
now you
and by the way,
the morale of the city.
Yeah, but the fans should celebrate, though.
The fans, yeah.
Not, nigga, not the players.
Not the players.
I'm talking about, we only talking about players.
Just a small, I was born in Detroit. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I moved to Milwaukee, though. So everything I've done, historically, Milwaukee. Yeah. But, and then the rest of my life from 21 on up was in Miami. Me getting kicked out of fam because of Luke ass. It was Miami. Mm.
You know, I was, get I kicked out because of Luke?
Working for Luke. You get kicked out a lot of shit working for Luke. Because and it's not his fault, it's your fault.
Yeah. Oh, you, oh, his world. It's your,
so
it's
you
his,
was,
his
world language. So you were in Miami during the U days, the real U days.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
I need a story. I need at least one story.
I know you got
me. I need one. Cause that's
what, the, what kind of story? What kind of story
the,
you want?
The one that's gonna make you laugh the most. The one that made you smile like that.
I need the one that you was like, damn, I'm really doing this shit at this like this.
The now I don't wanna talk about the boat trip. Shit.
No. Oh shit.
Now you wanna know about the boat trip.
Oh shit.
I don't know, man. Cause me, I was just trying to get my ass out the street. So I don't really.
So were you hanging out with Luke or were you hanging out with the players? Or are you hanging out with both?
Both.
Yeah, see, I need that story.
That's how I got my ass kicked out of the motherfucking. Yeah.
How'd you get kicked out of fam?
The players that I fuck with ain't players that you gonna know.
What? Oh, wow. Hey.
You feel me?
So you was fucking with them boys.
The player that I fuck with was for purpose, for me. Not somebody that's gonna be on it. Because I, you know.
You was fucking real.
Yeah, come from Milwaukee. I was trying to hustle. Yeah. I was hustling.
Yeah. Right.
So the players and the people that I fuck with, I can't tell them. I can't say on camera.
Some of them are cool. some of them are Hall of Famers, basically. Some of them are Hall of Famers.
Couple.
Yes.
But, I was coming down there with shit strapped around my legs trying to get off. I wouldn't think about no DJing and right. Shit like that at first, you know.
Right.
And then, because I knew I wasn't going to get accepted right away. With so much shit going on in Miami, it was so many people, like, to the DJ culture, you got to know, man. Down there, there's no culture like Miami on hip hop.
So
and music. Musically, you gotta be inclined. You gotta know the reggae, you gotta know the compo, you gotta know the fucking Spanish, some of the Spanish music. It's a small hip hop. It's a small hip hop. And then you gotta know the records that they play all the time. Cause a nigga fuck
like
you up. You
think,
yeah, you think
like
you
that.
Think you killing it and that nigga to fuck you up with a Barry White record in Miami. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, for sure.
Nah, I've been around.
Fuck your ass up, nigga. Like King Kong theme, like they fuck you up, nigga. You rocking that motherfucker with a bunch of hip hop and shit, then you niggas will come and drop that King Kong theme or the drumline beat on your ass, and you'd be done.
Cause you know the people.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question: what city do you feel like is the hardest to break a record in?
Oh man, for sure. You can't. There's no bringing a new record to Miami. You gotta have that shit popping.
Cause it's
now Miami will fuck with you. When your shit pop, and they'll support a big support.
Is Miami similar to Vegas, in your opinion?
Hell no.
Or I'm talking about as far as the club scene when it comes to trying to break a record. Because you like, I've never seen.
Nah, because Vegas don't have culture.
Nah, Vegas.
Miami,
fair.
Miami has South Beach.
Yeah,
Vegas. And then there's the
South
other
Miami.
Miami.
Then that's South,
you got South
Hollywood.
No, it's not a South Florida. Let me just say, you got South, down South. You got South Beach. You got Fort Lauderdale, you know, Broward is really popping. You know what I'm saying? On the hip hop side, you got so many different places. North Miami, you know, Carroll City. You got, you feel me, Liberty City. So all these, it's just so many different people doing their thing. And musically, Vegas ain't nothing going on. You can't even pinpoint some shit in Vegas except for the spots, the club that you're going to try. Hopefully squeeze your shit in between some EDM shit or something. You know what I'm saying?
Who was the best promo guy you encountered? Because promo guys in the music industry are personalities. And
you talking about now?
I'm talking about just time. Like, and then my second question is, tell me the most legendary thing a promo guy did for DJs to get his records played. I got one.
I can start there. Kevin Black.
Hold on. I can start there.
I can start there. Yeah.
Kevin Black 05.
Well, the master stole my idea. I'm going to put it out there. Fuck yeah. it. How I got in the industry was bringing strippers to the conferences. That's how I got in. That's how I got in. That's how I got into this. I'm from Milwaukee, so I was like, ain't nobody gonna pay attention to me. This was before like niggas started talking about pimping Ken and shit like that. Bro. So what I would do was bring chicks to the conferences, to Impact Conference and shit like that. Jack the Rapper, just load up a van of chicks and bring them with me. And then when I see this industry, popular industry niggas start trying to talk to the girls, I would hand my business card to them.
Right.
Mm. It was an icebreaker.
Not for real.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I would give them my business cards, and that's how they started getting to know me. Yeah, I don't care what y'all do with them, but here's my card. Here's my... Yeah, that's how I got in it.
And that's why I said I think DJs overplay their hand. Because you don't know how they treated DJs.
Oh, man, it was terrible.
Bro, they showed Power Summit 05. All I know is that they...
know what Kevin Black did.
All I know is that they say is 05. I don't know. I don't think this was Kevin. But I think this was. But it was either him or whoever was Def Jam. But somebody...
I'm letting you know because the idea came from me having them niggas lined up in my damn suite. For the girls, like had rooms, nigga. I had a room, big ass suite with six girls and niggas lined up like a party. Niggas in line, execs, some of y'all favorite execs lined up at my room. Charging niggas $20 and handing them my business card just to get in the room.
All I heard was that they had a boat because we was in Bahamas. All I heard was that a boat from the Dominican Republic is on its way.
Woo!
Everybody's gonna have the time of their life. And for me,
nigga, they had us walking around with house coats on. Hey, they elevated my shit. We had a
wait. So that was the mix show Power Summit in Bahamas.
Now,
what about the one I didn't go?
Only one I ever went to was Bahamas.
Hey, listen, I met Neo for the first time.
Listen, man, listen, it was.
Yeah, I did want
to. Let me say something. I gotta say something. This is who you knew when they say a label is hip hop. This is how you measured it by what a promo guy did.
Hell yeah,
nigga. Am I tripping? No. So let me tell you why. We at Jive. Jive is a hip hop label, but our artist performing is Chris Brown, T-Pain, my artist Noah, and the Youngbloods, right? Because that's how you had to do back in the day. You use your bigger artists
to get the smaller artists on it.
So Noah went first, T-Pain went second, Chris went third, and then the Youngbloods go because they was big already. This was the first time. So that was what I think. So, you know, you kind of figuring out like, oh, shit, we got the pool party. Then you like, Def Jam got the dinner. Mm. Oh, shit. Interscope got the after party. So the dinner, it's a big dinner. They got people there. They got girls there. Everybody's having a good time. But that after party?
DJs depended on the dinner.
And then we don't have that. So we feel lame at Jive.
DJs depended on the dinner because we was broke.
Oh.
Eat
shit like
we
that.
Wanted to eat.
We
gotta eat.
No, listen to me. All I know is that they came with a bus full of girls.
Interscope, though?
Kevin Black is the legend.
Legend.
Niggas. You know who Kevin Black is?
They started handing out house coats to niggas.
That's
So 05, so that had to be like 50 around. Probably 50 around that.
No. 50. I can tell you what was working. Because 50 wasn't. I remember specifically Columbia Party, 3-6 Mafia performed Stay Fly about 8 times.
For real?
At that party. They had a big one, right? And you got to remember, some niggas had so much clout that if Lil Jon is signed to Warner, but he walks into a Def Jam party, they're not going to say, sit in the corner, Lil Jon. They're going to say, get up here.
Right. The problem, let me tell y'all what the problem is, man. The problem is, now we grind back then. We was grinding. We get in the car.
Hand to hand.
We niggas legs hanging out. We could ride all the way down to Atlanta like this with some niggas in the car in one room. We didn't have no money to get in the rooms. We would want them to get to these places where we need to be. The internet took all that away. The phones, the social media took all the grind away. Mm. The grind made legends. DJs made legends. The internet makes stars, but the DJs make legends.
Do you think there are certain cities that have messed up the DJ culture?
Certain what?
Certain cities that have messed up the DJ culture.
Oh, man, it's just, nigga, we messed up the DJ culture.
Ow.
And when I asked for certain cities.
Us, DJs.
That's
we did.
You think it's from?
Not keeping up. Being
they were the front line.
Arrogant.
As I said, they overplayed their hand.
The arrogance of saying, I done heard niggas say this to me like, man, I don't fuck with the internet shit. Boy, if you don't get your ass.
If you don't get your dumb ass out and go get your motherfucking.
You fuck away from me for that shit. I had arguments with DJs about Serato. Like, literally, niggas was still humped over bringing crates and shit while we was opening up laptops.
The biggest hip-hop platform in hip-hop is DJ Vlad. I don't know, people don't want to give it to him. I'm being honest. You can make the face, but he understood. The DJs that pivoted run the culture. The DJs that pivoted run the culture.
Vlad was in the core for a minute.
Yeah, Vlad. I'm just saying, I got to give him credit.
Can Vlad actually DJ?
He was mad at me though.
He was a DJ.
Can he actually DJ though?
Yeah.
Vlad used to be outside.
Vlad the Butcher. He used to make mixtapes and everything.
Vlad was outside.
I know you make mixtapes, but I didn't know he could actually DJ.
Butcher.
Vlad the Butcher.
Go back and look it up.
Yeah, he was a big DJ. That's what I'm saying. But like,
look up the Butcher, Vlad the Butcher. Look that shit up.
So another question.
We kind of moved on to the started doing the interviews and different stuff like that, but
DJ Smalls, same thing.
Yeah, Smalls.
Credit.
Badass DJ.
All the DJs that understood the pivot, because everybody wants to be around DJs, and both of them build their platform not showing their face.
I didn't pivot to this because my strength was always mixing, and I played everything. I didn't just play hip hop. My you know, like now I do Ricky Smiley in the morning. Like I know how to stay in my lane and still stay current with what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Like 42 Doug, I'm going there. And I go there and I go from that to the Isley Brothers. And
right.
Like that. You know, for me, like, you know, to Sam Cooke, nigga.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I got a question. So the other day on the internet, I saw a clip and it was a big artist and she was yelling at her, like the DJ messed up the set. And I was like, well, that's not her normal DJ. I was like, why wasn't her DJ with her? And she was performing with another artist, so she didn't have her main DJ.
It was Ari Lennox? You saw on the internet?
No, it was Nicki Minaj, and I asked why wasn't DJ Booth there, because usually that's who does her touring and her stuff with her. And they were like, because I was like, is that not Booth? Like, why would he mess up the set? And they were like, she was coming out on somebody else's set. In a situation like that, how prepared are DJs for guest situations? Like, is it his fault or is it her fault for not preparing them properly?
It's both of them. For him not asking, he knows he's not the normal DJ, and for her people, not her, but her, somebody with her.
So they went right to him and told him.
To tell him, this is what this is, this is what this is. So he should have asked. He
was just, have you ever got yelled at by somebody on stage?
Anybody got yelled at Tony Neal?
So I got a question.
Anybody got yelled at Tony Neal? Nigga, I already know that.
I never had no issues with getting embarrassed. No fighting me.
Putting hands on niggas, huh?
He just stand on business. He just always been the stand up dude.
Not me.
Tony, question.
Not them. Now,
do you have? Do you think the club promoters?
Yeah.
You think club promoters have messed up the DJ culture?
No, club promoters just deal with
it. And the only reason I ask that, because like there was a debate here in Atlanta where promoters were like, they were literally booked DJs who did it, who really weren't that good at DJ.
Yeah, that's the DJ's fault though.
Mm.
It's your job as a DJ to stay current, nigga. Become a promoter like I did. If I don't feel like that this promoter is gonna do the right thing with me, I'm gonna be his competition. I'm gonna turn into a promoter. Nigga, I'm gonna have my own list. I'm gonna have my own social media following. I'm gonna do my own shit. I got hated off the Tom Joyner cruise. It's one of the reasons I started the Slow Jam Mixtape, my R&B platform, outside of me going through a divorce and just getting my head right. You feel me?
Sure.
And so I started that Slow Jam Mixtape platform, and it was meant to start, it was playing records that never got a chance to get played. B cuts off the albums and shit like that, or records that niggas forgot about.
Hard.
You know, and I started that platform on Facebook. And I used to have like 10,000, 12,000 people watching me every time I came on. And so I said, you know what? All right, well, damn, I'm going to do my own cruise. I'm going to do my own event. I'm going to do my own R&B weekend. I'm going to start A&R'ing and start making these older artists understand what the QSRC code is. So when they had these 10,000 people in front of them, you stop the music and tell your audience to aim at that damn billboard behind you to get your new project.
Yeah.
Akon did it. I did it with Akon. He did it. He did the little tour.
Yep.
He had the whole little tour he just did. And that shit was dope. And he had Akon. He had a big ass QRC code on the side. And like I said, man, people just don't. I think we just give up too easy, man. Like,
agreed.
We don't stay current, and without staying current, we complain. It's complaining is free. It's free to hate and it's free to complain.
And you know what? On another scale, that's complaining is not gonna help anybody.
Nah.
So you gotta go out there and do the work.
It's a temporary band-aid, though.
Exactly. It makes you feel, I don't want you to complain about because we lost. You gotta learn and apply.
No. Hey, listen. Complaining is a band-aid. You know, hating is stitches. But do it heal, you know, what's wrong with you? You still got a scar.
Yep.
You know, you still got a scar
mm-hmm.
that of something that you didn't heal from or something that you didn't accomplish yet. So hating on somebody, man, it's just.
Are any of these younger DJs reaching out to you to try to, like, carry on? Like,
oh, shit, all the time. I fuck with them. I fuck with younger DJs. Niggas talk shit about niggas' platform. Niggas talk shit about what they use, computers. They don't know the music. I fuck with them. If I can help a young DJ, I help them.
How you feel about the celebrity DJ who is not really have went through the process of becoming great at DJing, like the Paris Hiltons of the world, the people who are like, I want to play music and they call themselves a DJ. Like, what do you think about that?
I don't know, man, because I know so many people that been in and still ain't a DJ, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Call themselves DJs and they really not DJs. I'm a DJ, so
for that's me, why I, exactly.
So for me,
no playlist DJs.
You're an entertainer. You are an entertainer that's DJing. That's what I call it.
How would you define DJ?
Shit, living it. Living the craft, living it. Staying current. You know, keeping your shit up. Staying healthy. You know.
Current, being staying current is the DJ's biggest currency.
Let me ask you something. Would you believe a nigga that walked up to you with his shoes leaning so he could break your record?
Hell no.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up. Like, another thing is that I feel like a lot of DJs didn't grow at the time. They still dressed and in their snowman shirt.
Nigga stopped that.
They still in that place of like
07.
What they liked, and they stopped growing at for real.
Nigga stopped at 07,
bro.
Especially in the smaller secondary markets.
Niggas still big record of swag, sir.
Oh no. Oh, that's crazy.
Corporate thugging.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Or Dreams and Nightmares. Niggas, yeah. Biggest records, they be stopping right there. And they dress like that.
Yep.
Stuck in time.
They always say, yeah, they usually
stuck. And those are the ones that complain about the young DJ you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Or the younger times.
Or good old days.
Terrible, man.
The glories. Terrible. You said relationships are really important in trying to build this. So if somebody comes up to you and gives you bad music, or music that you don't think is gonna be a hit. Say they pay.
You asking me that?
Yeah. Are you gonna tell them?
Yeah,
what?
Quick.
How do you not damage that relationship though?
That's personal. Relationship damage. They should take that and grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me personally, I ask them first. Are you want my personal opinion?
Or you want me to?
So
do you want me to?
To that point.
You want me to massage?
To that point, has there been a point in time where you were like, where you were like, somebody, this ain't it, but it worked. It wouldn't work.
Oh, man, like I just told.
That probably happens all the time.
Fucking Laffy Taffy.
Mm.
You don't like Laffy Taffy?
Hell no, I didn't like it.
Don't.
That's a.
I started doing that. You started leading the rocket with it. I didn't get it.
That's fair.
I was in New York having a bull thing.
You know, Lowe was one of my street guys, my people. I didn't get it. Until I seen Fabo dance to it,
mm-hmm.
And then I seen everybody.
That was culture.
But to me, that's what artists. That's just content now. It's like instead of seeing Fabo do the dance in person because you happen to be there,
nigga. Fabo broke that record.
Yeah, Fabo, absolutely.
Not for real. Like I was.
Kind of leaning. You try not to.
I remember so much, man. So many movements coming up, man. Like I remember when Lil Jon used to work at Ichiban. I remember Lil Jon.
Ichiban Records. I remember that
at Ichiban. You know, when I was working records back when I was younger, man. Man, he had MC Breed and all these people, the Dayton family and shit like that coming up.
Dayton family.
Yeah, man.
I love the Dayton family. Man. Me too.
I'm a historian. That's that Virgo shit.
Yeah, that's because I don't want nobody to bring some shit up. That's why anytime you say recite a verse, I know
that,
a verse.
That Virgo shit?
Not for real.
Not for real.
We should sell that.
We do need to create some merch for Virgos, like some a collab. Because
that's an idea, right?
We are the most easy to identify sign in history, in my opinion.
You a Virgo, ain't you?
You a Virgo, nigga. I could tell.
Yeah.
The Cat Williams interview was a Virgo interview. Like I tell people, he was only speaking for the craft.
Got to be a Virgo.
Only for the craft.
Seen that shit. This nigga's a Virgo, and sure enough.
Nigga said, hey, Cat. He said, let me tell you about everybody else in the industry.
No, he went crazy. He was holding that.
But if you think about it, he was speaking from a person who wanted to be in it, did everything right to be in it, and then got in it and realized the niggas that he looked up to didn't honor the same path. Then he stopped respecting them. By the way, that's my story in music. I wanted to do everything right. I never went to sit in the room with Tony Neal and him say, well, he do something, and I don't know. I never want somebody to play a song, and I didn't know. because in our business, this is a snobbish business. You will be judged.
I never signed contracts or none of that shit until I started fucking with this music business. Until I created the core. Because it was an honor among my kind of niggas, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Coming up. You know, you say you're going to do this, nigga. We doing this, you know what I'm saying? And when I got in this shit, I realized I fucked up a lot of relationships going to niggas' houses and shit because of something they didn't do.
Yeah.
You pull up.
I fucked up a lot of relationships.
So looking back, how should you have handled those situations?
Now the way I'm handling it now, because...
How are you handling it?
I just, you know... We'll meet at a different crossroad. I think sometimes if you don't work with people, if you don't work with people, sometimes that paperwork should don't
work. I say paperwork don't matter.
Yeah, because like if you just don't work with somebody at a certain time, that don't mean they don't fuck with. They just don't fuck with you right now.
Yeah,
that's what I started taking.
The Meg was in a contract with 1501. She still stopped paying them.
Elevate yourself for that person to stop fucking with.
It don't matter
because you're gonna pass that person, and then you're not gonna fuck with them no more. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to be able to reach it. Hey, man, I remember I fuck with you. And you're not going to fuck with them no more. Like it's, but maybe, I just don't take shit as personally as I used to. I just take it personal, man. Too. Because I came from a personal situation. Nigga. A nigga was short. We was coming to a nigga house.
Do you think now?
For real.
Like, not for real. I believe.
No, I'm keeping it that.
That's real.
It was, you know, we Come on home. He's coming.
I'm telling you, it's hard. When you're raising a mindset, you apply that to everything else. So if you're raising the streets and you go music business,
and I know it was wrong. It was wrong as shit. Like, you know, and I tell it, like I just told Bank and Jay when I did the show, I said, I had to apologize. So it was so fucked up that during COVID, I was calling niggas and apologizing.
Mm.
That's real, though.
So you had time to like reflect and kind of like think about things like that?
COVID made people reflect.
COVID made us all pause. It made us all pause.
And I got on the phone and was actually calling people that I thought I offended. No, I thought I offended. You know, and it was for me to get off my chest. They accept it or not. It was for me to, it was personal for me to get it out of my system to move forward with a better relationship, my new wife.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
to get that shit out my system, to clean me out and do the right thing with my kids and shit like that. It was something for me to get out my system.
Did you get the results you wanted from
it? Hell yeah.
I saw a question. You know what I'm saying? Do you think these new DJs, the new DJs that are attaching themselves to artists, are they leveraging their platforms properly? And when I say that,
when you say attach yourself to artists, what do you mean?
So like if they become the official DJ for Fulato,
that was always the thing, get with somebody. Like
that's how you see the world.
Tour DJs, like it was always however you want to get the spotlight on you, that's what you did, but you don't stop there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't celebrate that. Just what's next? Merch. What you gonna do? Speaking of, my headphones.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a pivot. Hold on. You got a headphone brand?
Yeah, let me get my let me get my
right here.
Right here. Right okay. Here. Sitting around talking about culture. I was sitting around.
Can I see?
Sitting around the house during COVID. And I said, damn, I want to design some earbuds. I had already had been a partnership with somebody prior to this, getting this name. And so I want to design an earbud. I was like, damn, I wonder could I call these same people and get an earbud? And I did it. All the ideas that you see around the box.
It's all you.
I told them what I wanted.
Deep bass, immersive sound.
So how would you compare them with some of the other?
Hold on, these mine?
My shit is the best.
Those mine too.
Open pair.
Oh, those mine too
though. He let you know.
I want those too though. I need two pairs.
You can have them.
I got you. I got some more for you. I ain't tripping. I got some more.
Okay, cool. I'm just saying.
Check it out.
Cool. I'm just saying.
I'm going to open it up.
You know what it looks like. Juju. Make sure it's good.
Yeah, this is the whole concept of what I see life as. He's known for being a DJ. He finds a product that's attached to him being a DJ, attached that's to DJing, brand, and it's all going to work itself out. And now it ain't promoting because his...
And I'm working on my restaurant here in Atlanta.
Oh, this is clean. What's your restaurant?
So I'm working on that.
What kind of restaurant?
I don't want to say it yet.
Okay.
Developed, but it's hip-hop based.
What area?
Oh, that's hard.
Oh, these hard.
Oh, those are gonna stay in here too.
These crazy. Yeah.
Don't forget those of mine though.
Somebody do a
backflip.
I got a God Squad member in the house, Kathy. I'm gonna give you my extra pair as a God Squad member. She's in my community.
See, that's why you gotta be a part of the God Squad.
That's why you gotta pop up.
So no, I'm retiring my beats. But I was just sitting around. Like the ideas that I come with is when my mind is clear and I'm just sitting around thinking about something outside of.
Go ahead, give them a plug. How long these last? And how long? What's the
25 hours.
25 hours of playtime. Yeah.
Oh, these, and they're comfortable too.
Yeah. I'm about to retire my. I got the beat.
I made them on the hook, like if you're working out. You can take
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can tell it's going to stack. You onto something now.
You can take it off too. Just put it in your ear.
Gotcha.
You're chilling.
Yeah. Oh. That's L.
I could do that. That's hard. Now. If I could do it, then y'all could do it.
And I got the different settings in the inside, so it's a little plastic in there with a different. Yeah, ear canal setting.
Packaging is crazy.
Stop it. Different sizes.
Ear canal. It's
different
size. Yeah, yeah. So if your ear don't feel right.
By the way,
if
you got bare butt, where can we get these?
On my website.
Perfect.
DJTonyNeal.com.
Make sure you put on the screen.
Yeah, my website.
Not under.
Shout out to my partner. I got my partner Craig and my cousin Amari, man. We
thank you.
Yeah, that's hooked in. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to get another pair of those too.
No, with my headphones. Now I don't do the ear. It's too close to my ear.
But he got the bigger ones too. He got headphones too. These are just the buds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are yours, Kathy. I'm gonna retire my
I'm gonna retire my beats and I'm gonna let you know. Give you a review.
Retire
a real one.
You have to
switch into black.
You heard I said retire.
Gotcha.
Retire
immediately.
What made you want to sell products?
Because I started my name. I started working on my name. I said, for me. I never wanted to be, no disrespect to my guys, but Khaled and Drama, that's them.
Yeah.
The people wanted me to be, I never wanted to be that.
Yeah.
I was only like, when I was getting nominated for BET DJ of the Year and 4 years in a row, and it never happened.
Yeah.
I felt like they wouldn't, I was the DJ.
They owe you 4 years straight. Right. No.
I was the DJ's DJ. So I'm not going to never get the, like you just said, the public at that time didn't know who Tony the industry did.
Yep.
And that's how I was getting nominated. But if they weren't going to give me the award for what I'm doing for these DJs that y'all got winning, then don't nominate. I had talked to Deborah and I talked to, I told them don't nominate me no more.
If I can't, yeah, I'm with you. I'm blaming you.
Don't nominate me again.
For real. No disrespect. It was cool. It was like, I appreciate being nominated all these years, but nah.
How can you do so much for the culture? Like, you're making retreats, you're breaking records, and then somebody else gets it. Like, absolutely not. Don't invite me.
The system picks his favorites.
You know what? That's not the system in existence.
No. I'm still here. Longevity is what you get.
There you go.
Are you here for the credit, or are you here for the work? Because if you're here for...
I ain't gonna stop until I want to stop. Mm. Like, for instance, I stopped DJing in the clubs because my daughter was getting
good
old.
Good one. I do not want to
run it. Look like, man?
Yeah.
That's gotcha. Real.
My daughter's 21 now.
And you in the
club? Because I'm still hot.
Yeah.
But then I look over there and my daughter bent over and some nigga...
Hell no.
I'm in the way.
And you in the DJ booth. You can see it all.
Yep. Like, I'm in the way of my daughter growing. Mm-hmm. I'm in the way. I don't know. Your daddy DJing tonight? I'm cool.
It's when you get older, you're either one of two things. Either you're in the way or you're the goal. And if you're still out here, like a lot of these dudes is in the way. And I'm with you on that. I wanted to get out the way. I want to be the goal.
Man,
I want to be what you're striving for, not what standing in front
so
of you getting
where
you
want to
go.
Being out the way, now I got to work on my brand. Mm-hmm. So I started promoting Tony Neal. Mm-hmm. And Nicole. I don't want to sound like David Ruffin or no shit, but...
You niggas need Tony Neal.
but he's everybody knows he's the leader, so he should, by the way.
So I started promoting myself. Then with promoting myself, became the brands, doing the clothing line, do the restaurants, and you know, doing my R&B events just as big as I do the hip hop events with the core. Now I got a slow jam weekend that I do. Like, I just started wanting to expand my brand. Well, damn, who the fuck is doing all this shit? I never had no publicists. I never had no managers, so me, like my girl Tracy Baltimore. Tracy manages me, BG, and Gary Payton.
Mm-hmm.
And then my girl Tiffany is my publicist, Tiffany Gaines in LA. I never had no publicist or no manager. Everything I was doing it myself.
Yeah.
So now these artists be hitting me the whole shit. I call them, hey, call her, call him. Yep. I started delegating more of my stuff at the core. With like DJ Finesse is still the president. Holly Grover the VP. You know, K-Tone is over the West Coast with Mike Smooth. And I just started delegating stuff to people, man, like to work on me.
Shout out Holly Grove. That nigga be everywhere.
Yeah, not
but not
Holly Grove be everywhere.
Real. Shout out to you guys for staying united in a time where DJs aren't celebrated. You got to give that. Because
man, I went back to my DJs that I was a little rough with.
Yeah,
even.
Yeah.
Like, even in that time span of me apologizing to people, I would call them like, man, hey, I was tripping.
Love
you
that.
Know, nigga, I was tripping, you know what I'm saying? I handled this shit wrong with us. And yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I apologize to you, you know what I'm saying? Not enough niggas tell people they apologize, and not enough men say that they love their guy to their men, to their people. It's my brother. I love this.
Yeah. You know, and not only that, and I love that you're saying that because I always say like that. We're not accountable.
No.
Like, if I say something wrong, I'm the first person to say something. I'll be in the comments on YouTube comment like, yo, somebody say Ray is a contradiction. I'm responding back like, how? I want to understand you. I'm not like fuck you. I'm up. You ain't. I'm not that kind of guy. Because
right.
In my mind, there might be a mixed up contradiction that I need to clear up. Because I know I'm not a contradiction
but
in my head.
But it depends.
I say fuck you. We ball in the comments.
It depends on who you got to clear
can,
that with.
Can I tell you something though? I didn't say Instagram and I didn't say TikTok. Right. I said YouTube. YouTube viewers matter way more to me than an Instagram follower.
Because it depends on
that's how we eat.
Who you clearing it up to?
No, I was just asking because he might have said something. His response to me is gonna let me know where he is, right? Someone says, fuck you, Ray. First thing I'm gonna say is, hold on, what happened? Now if you're still angry, like I give you an example. We have this automated machine with this thing where it sends out messages on behalf of the God Show, right? Just kind of like to create awareness, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, if you guys want that, it's working for us. And if you want that, let me know. It's the service that we provide. But one of the messages was, yo, come tap in with us. So the bot sent it to a 17-year-old girl. Mind you, I don't have that. I'm not doing it. But the guy went in on me. And he was like, Ray is DMing, trying my daughter to tap in. She's a minor. Everybody come get this guy. Da, 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 da. And mind you, and to be honest with you, I could have easily been like, fuck you. That's not the truth. I hit him. Yo, bro, first of all, let me apologize to you because that wasn't me. That was a bot. And I have a daughter too, so I'm not mad at your anger. But I want to make sure you know that wasn't me, that's not who I am, and that's not what I do. If at that moment he says, fuck that, you or this, at that moment I can't care. But as soon as I said that, he was like, man, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, bro, because I couldn't figure out why you would hit my daughter.
Do you know that it's niggas that practice hating us?
Of course they are.
Tony, Ray get mad at me because niggas would be like, niggas say it all the time, who the fuck is this guy talking, who's ex? I'd be like,
not for real. Like,
and I'd just be like,
I'm content with the people that stop fucking with me. There's a lot of people because I don't do the things that they do to stay successful.
Mm-hmm.
A la Cat Williams speaking.
Yeah.
Because I don't do the things that they do, they stop talking to me. Like, niggas that I came up helping stop talking to me. And right now, the way shit is going with certain niggas, I'm cool, nigga. Stay over there.
Yeah. Like, everybody ain't your people.
Nah, right. For real. No. I'm really cool. Like,
yeah.
I can see these same niggas at the Grammy think, man, T-Nail, what's your number, man? I'm like, nigga, I'm cool.
That's real.
It's funny to me when people run up on me. I was in Charlotte. This dude ran up on me like, yo, Ray, it's weird to me how I'm like, what's up, bro? I speak to everybody. He's like, yeah, man, don't get mad when I be arguing with you. And I'm like, you argue with me?
Damn.
I didn't even know who you was.
See?
Like, and then we took a picture, and then that was it. But I know who he was now because he tagged me. You know, he tagged me, Ray Dance. I'm like, oh, that's him. He's that guy. But for me, it's like,
what is the thing? Like I just told y'all, man, what makes people so mad? You got to think of shit that they're going through at home, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things that you say, Ray, on the show, they don't understand you and where you're coming from. They get offended. Man, it hit me one time. I had to tell you that.
That's what man made him talk.
Hit me like, man, and that nigga don't know what the fuck he talking about. Who was this nigga, man? And I actually had to call the nigga. Yeah, call him. I said, yo, hey, call my number, man. He was tripping because I called him. He started the whole, man, you the godfather, man. I don't hear that shit right now because you saying some shit that you way out of pocket. You don't know nothing about this nigga, man, to be saying the shit that you saying.
I get this. I get the hate all the time.
He ain't know nothing. Nothing, you know. And the West Coast, they move way different than we move over here. If you don't understand what's going on the West Coast, they move different over there. You know what I'm saying? So they're only privileged to what they see over there. They never travel past motherfucking Texas. So a lot of those people over there, you know, in hip hop, they don't know how to get their music played over such frustration when you, now the internet is so wide that you could damn near see anybody. Who the fuck is this nigga? What are you talking about? Mm. Who is this nigga? I ain't never heard of this nigga. Of course you haven't. You ain't even over here.
And not only that, we speak, everyone speaks from their own agenda.
They disappear.
So I give people grace.
They don't come back and
they
say,
get quiet.
You know what? You was right.
It's never an apology. Nah, I ain't
gonna lie to you, Tony. You know me. I want anybody who wants smoke to come here and talk to me. Anybody? Because usually they say something, and I'm like, "You just said what I said. That's what I said. I just said it. My gift is I know how to. I can say in 8 words, but you need 25
man,
words.
I'm a realist, bro. I don't never get no smoke from niggas. More than likely, before they talk to me, somebody done told them, all right.
Yeah,
or they already know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling somebody what they want to hear. I'm gonna tell them what you asked me. You asked me what I think, or how do I feel about something. I'm just gonna be like, you know, I'm a little bit milder than I used to be.
Way milder. By the way, your wife, who I know was, but your daughter, somebody calmed you down because you was one of those guys that made me feel like I can be that way. Because you wasn't apologetic about yourself. And sometimes people would be like he was, and he was the guy that everybody went to.
No, I'm not apologetic. I apologized.
No, but you're not apologetic for who you are.
But I'm not, nah.
Because even when you did that, it took hindsight for you to realize, damn, that was wrong. Because in the middle of it, you thought you was right.
I didn't have to do it like that. Yeah. That was a lot of that. You know, I could have.
He's like,
yeah, did I offend you that time? They'd be like, it was so long. They'd be like, what you talking about?
Yeah.
What you talking about? I said, nigga, don't worry about it. If you forgot.
But I would say that means, but you know what I would say, Tony?
If you forgot,
I would say that means you're happy.
Right.
Because only unhappy people hold on to things. Happy people don't hold on to things. They let shit go. Unhappy people hold on to things, and that's how you can tell if someone's moved on or not. Like, so sometimes the apology lets you know where you at. Man, my bad. Man, that was some bullshit.
Not for real.
Yo, you know that was 8 years ago.
Right.
My bad. I'm still saying my bad, but like.
Yeah, not
nigga,
for real.
I done built companies in the last 8 years, and I done did so many things in the last 8 years, and you're still holding on to it. That just means you ain't happy. So if anybody out there is holding on to something, that's not about the person that did something to you. That's about you and how you feel about you. Because happy people forgive everybody because they just don't want to hold on to it.
Man, you know, the shit, I just realized how I came up. And I always go back to reflecting that this. Mm-hmm. My shit was crazy, man. My mother was on drugs, man. My pops was a pimp. Mm. I came up different. Mm. So when y'all ask me these DJ questions, it's like, these niggas didn't come up like me. Like, I'm different than them.
Milwaukee? Because you, yeah, Detroit originally Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The real, right, the real players.
You know, my family's Jamaican, too. Like, we came up different.
Oh, yeah. So in Milwaukee, like, and Jamaican.
Yeah, now we came up different. You know?
So and like, he was a pimp.
That's a combo. Oh,
so it's like, I don't look at shit, the simple things that people get mad about. It might come out harsh because I answer and it's like, man, I don't give a fuck about that.
That's real.
And I keep it moving. Like, they'll take that shit and turn it to a whole story and they'll gather niggas. Niggas gather niggas to hate
community.
You. They got a community of hating niggas. You don't even know the
I don't like. If I don't like somebody, I don't like him because I don't like him. I don't care how none of y'all feel. I don't like that dude.
I'm like, you want to go gather some niggas for me? You going and rounding up
they got a hate coalition.
Y'all got a whole thing.
Nigga, stand on your own shit. Stand on your own.
That's crazy.
If something bothers me, it bothers me. I will make it known.
Y'all got a haters conference? Like, y'all got some shit going on with a picture of me hanging up on that motherfucker. Like, it's like people will grab one thing that they think that you've been through. Oh, let me tell you something. I'm gonna give you something. I gotta say it to you. I was waiting to save this for you. I found out because a lot of industry cats stopped talking to me around 2011, 12. And I found out that some of the budgets they were supposed to be giving me for conferences didn't get to me.
Oh, wow.
But I was blamed for it. You taking money out of this cast artist budget, this artist budget, but I wasn't getting it. Mm. I found that out. Mm-hmm. The people that I deal with and associate with now, that's on a higher level, even with radio on a higher level, they tell me all this stuff that happened, man. They would tell me, yeah, you persevered through a lot of things and we want to gift you with this. There's a lot of powers that be that I never knew. That's another reason why I'm chilling. Now, you know what I'm saying? Because
that's scary when it's like somebody, it's an outside force deliberately holding you back.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
And these men are older and they telling me the shit that happened to me. Mm. God, damn, how the fuck y'all know that? Y'all niggas ain't nowhere in none of this shit. Like, yeah, you like some of the budgets and stuff that you was supposed to get for the conference. They allot $15,000, you only get $8,000.
Wow, that shit.
So I do $8,000 worth of work, but they gave me $15,000.
They didn't do $15,000, so now they want to cut you to $8,000.
No, so they go tell the artist, man, that nigga Tony Neal took your money and didn't. Terrible, man. Terrible.
That's crazy.
And I found that out a couple years ago. So, you know, it's kind of crazy, right?
Let me tell you something. What kind of made me not care? Similar situation. I'm working at Interscope. I say where I'm at. I'm doing fuck. Fuck that nigga. Working at Interscope. And I just felt like I couldn't get motion. I just felt like I was signing artists and they were having meetings outside and I wasn't invited to no meetings. I would hear about the meeting. It was one time in particular that Majima, who was the head of programming, Army programming for Spotify, hits me like, why are you not in this Interscope meeting? So I'm like, I didn't know nothing about it.
Mm.
So I go to the meeting and she's like, we're in this room. I go to the room, it's a sign on the door. if this person did not invite you, do not enter whatsoever.
Stop it.
Oh yeah. So I listen. I quit. When I quit, I was like, something's wrong. Then a year later, 6 months later, I run into a promo guy who worked at Interscope. As soon as he sees me, he gives me a hug. Yo, I'm sorry. Hold on, I'm like, what? I'm so lost, Tony. I'm like, sorry for what happened? He said, bro, I was told to kill every last one of your records.
That's crazy, right?
And I wasn't wrong, by the way. And this guy know I know about it. And because he's had niggas call, because I've been loud. I ain't afraid. It's Joey, I.E. I ain't afraid to say that nigga name. Because he done had his friends call me. My niggas. Yo, Ray, what the fuck is up with you? Boom, boom. I'm like, yo, bro, he did 1, 2, 3 to me, my nigga. I can't get past that. Like, I feed my mother with this. Mm. I feed my kids with this. So while he's intimidated by me having presence in the building, that he co-signed me to come in, and now I'm getting killed publicly behind closed doors.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm whack, so I leave. They call me. Man, I'm gonna call him, man. Because that happened, I never hear nothing again. Because he called him, and he can't take that I found out. But, bro, I have to say to everybody, you cannot shine. You cannot kill who God blesses.
Let me tell you something. You saying that, I know the names of the people.
You can't kill who God blesses. You can't kill who God. Like, you, it's actually, you're killing yourself.
Some of the niggas I apologize to.
Did they apologize back?
Man, that's cool, T. Neal. Don't trip, man. But see, you in that musical chair of niggas that's taking pay cuts to keep a job. Mm-hmm. I ain't. So, I taking that.
Karma.
You know, yeah, karma's a motherfucker, man.
That's what I'm saying. And not only that, bro, like, it's fucked up. Like, there are people who I don't like. There's 1 or 2 people who I don't like, but I would never go out my way to hurt them.
Facts.
Because as much as I don't like you, I know that you might be taking care of your wife and kids with this, or your mama with this. Want your mom to suffer because she raised a fuck nigga.
Listen, bro.
So I won't do it.
Take that from being where I'm from. Cachet is the word I'm looking for to say street nigga.
Yeah.
For real? But I was Ronnie, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I was Ronnie for real.
Yeah.
I don't know y'all.
Oh, you said, hold on. Ronnie from.
Yeah, that was me.
From Power?
Yeah, nigga.
Raising Canaan.
That was Raising Canaan. Nigga, that was me. Oh, yeah, for shit. Real. I was.
So you hit your brother in the back of the head with a pipe?
Nigga, I don't give a fuck who it was. I didn't give a fuck who it was when I was younger.
Yeah.
Nigga, my brother didn't give a fuck. We came up like my brothers was scandalous, man. Like, we would fuck about nothing. My family is treacherous at home, man. Like, we didn't give a fuck. Well, then.
Right.
We didn't give a fuck about none of that shit, bro. But I was that nigga.
Mm-hmm.
When I put it on Facebook the other day, I said, thank God for music, because that was me. So when I watched this nigga walking up with this motherfucking coat on and shit, just looking crazy. I said, damn. Damn. There's a lot of motherfuckers in jeopardy in this industry if I wouldn't have switched the fuck how I was, man, because I would do shit by myself. No gang of niggas. Although I had a gang of niggas, I wouldn't do it. I would do nothing. I just do it and leave like it didn't never happen.
Do your dirt by your lonely, huh?
I love you, bro.
Nah, for real, man. So, I want nigga from Milwaukee County, nigga.
And niggas don't understand.
I swayed all of that over to the music game, and that same energy and that same anger that I had from the shit that I went through with my family and the shit that my family was going through.
Trauma.
Man, I didn't need no consultant or nothing. I put it in the music. I changed and switched it over into my DJing. I knew I was good at DJing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was good at my music, at music. I knew that, and I put it all into that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. The reason why you was hearing, like, niggas just didn't know my background. I always moved all over. Who you see me with?
Yeah, by yourself, bro. You always move by yourself.
Well, my guy, that's it, but by myself all the time.
There no that's the funny part about music. Like, you get into these buildings, people don't realize, like, nigga, when I was outside this building, I'm not the nigga to be fucked with.
Man, well,
so
you know
like,
what?
You're not gonna play me.
Well, that could be a detriment to you too, because on them golf courts, man, niggas have meetings about your ass.
Yeah.
Mm.
See, that's the thing. I'm out there playing with them.
No, I'm saying so.
There's another meeting they don't want you at though. Like there is a system in place to keep certain people in power. You have to know that. There's a system in place. This is why I always say to everybody, Donald Trump changed the world. Shaun the Plug did, bro. Because he went against the system.
And still.
And even now, that system is like anybody but him. And then look at the caucus. He beat everybody by double. And that's because
terribly
he has the people. The system can't control how the people think. The people think for themselves now. The system wanted to, and they tried to. That's why shit like this is scary.
The COVID showed us how to make it under crazy circumstances. COVID also made black people pay attention more to politics.
Yep. We had to watch. We was watching. And everything. We had no choice. But now we had to figure out what the future is going to look like.
Yeah, we was watching. And we could see through the fluff now. You can see through the motherfucker playing basketball and shit. You can see through the fluff. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It was fluff. Yep. A lot of fluff. You can see through the little, you know. I don't want to get started. Let me.
You're right.
Yeah, another show. But you can see through the fluff. And I was never the politically inclined. When I was coming, I didn't give a fuck who the president was. I was in the street. I didn't give a fuck who the president was. Ooh, fuck him.
Yep.
It's actually opposite, but that's a whole nother thing.
I'm just saying that, you know, the system, I wasn't trying to get a Republican, Democrat. I'm just saying somebody who had a voice said, I'm not like them, and people voted for him because people are tired of the system. So this show to me is anti-system.
Nah, for real.
I'm tired of the system. This show is like, if somebody else does, like I said, if this show and everybody's comment, we love Tony Hill, bring him back. I don't feel no way because this is.
Let me say this to you, bro. Let me say the internet, man, is such a thing, man. The internet, man, you can't control that. You can't control this motherfucking box, man. This internet is a motherfucker. Social media, man. You know, the reason why niggas' secrets and shit is coming out right now like this because they knew about the internet, but they never knew that social media was going to be.
One person can make a ghost account, no followers, post something, and tag us. Now we're like, hold on, what the fuck is
and
this?
Fuck you
and
up.
Now we're sharing it with our people. Now it's everywhere.
And it was
a ghost page.
And fuck you up.
Your whole life.
Now they got AI voices and shit.
Yeah, that shit is crazy.
Talking. Man, for real. When a man tries this. I mean, on TikTok, who the fuck is this nigga? Who is this nigga that's talking for everybody product? Who is this nigga? So, you know what I'm saying?
So, Tony, we have a game that we want to play with you. It's called Making a Cut.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack gave the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to give you three options. And if you don't want to pick an option because you want to be politically correct, which we understand.
Mm-hmm.
You have, instead of taking a drink like most people do or a shot, we say just donate to a nonprofit. It's $20 a question that you don't do. So the point is, I want you to answer, but if you don't answer, then the kids are going to get some dinner for this. And by the way, the nonprofit is called the Creative Academy, and two of the members of the Creative Academy are actually Grammy nominated.
Well, shit, can I pay event in advance? Because I'm going to
walk
up right now.
So we give you three options. You got to pick one. One you sign,
mm-hmm.
one you put in development, and one you cut. And you have the deal is you have to say, I'm cutting that.
Damn.
So I'll give you, so for example, I'm going to give you three options right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just show you how it goes. You pick, okay? I'm going to give you the Miami Dolphins.
No. Miami Heat. Milwaukee Bucks.
No, I was going to give him something else.
Oh, gotcha.
I saw that. I'm going to do Miami Dolphins, the University of Miami team, and then I'm going to do the Milwaukee, the Green Bay Packers. I'm sorry.
You asking me this now?
Yeah. Ask again.
Give me that example
again.
Green
Bay Packers, the Miami Dolphins, or the Miami Hurricanes.
Shit.
Which team are you dropping? Which team are you developing?
I can't drop the U. Okay. I'm going to have to drop the Heat. I'm going to have to drop the Dolphins.
Okay.
I can't drop the U. I can't drop the U.
So out of the U and the Packers.
I'm going to have to drop the Dolphins for now. That was an easier pick because of what happened.
So who you signing and who you developing out of the other two?
Developing. Shit. Developing Green Bay.
I thought you were gonna say to you because Green Bay's still.
Nah, because that just happened though. Like niggas didn't see that coming.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
So you okay?
Yeah, that's my team, but niggas didn't see that.
Okay.
Jordan, you know he was hating on.
Everybody knew Jordan Love would be good.
Nah, not like that. Not that shit you just saw.
That nigga put up.
Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, nah.
Bro, and he's so calm with it. He just be chilling. Yeah, you know. Like, yeah, I just got out there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Nah, for real.
We got some for you. Ready?
All right.
By the way, some of these are Jack. Some of these are Ray, but this one in particular is Jack. I want you to know.
Let's see what you Jack.
DJ
come
Drama,
on.
DJ Khaled, Funk Flex.
DJ Khaled. I got to donate.
$20 for the kids. I got to donate. They're going to eat chicken.
I got to donate.
We're going to send Tony the official of this kid's eating McDonald's.
I got to donate that. I got to donate.
We're going to stress the nuts out. All right, cool. You want to add one? Because I was going to go.
Yeah, I got one for you.
Go ahead.
Nah, shit. I ain't fuck with you. You be doing. Come on. Come on, right. Jack. Come on.
T.I., Gucci Mane, Jeezy.
Who I'm... That's $40.
$40
again. $40.
Hell no, nah, I can't.
You can
I
feel that one coming?
Nah, man,
you
I can't.
Feel that one coming? All right, cool. So I have one for you. Ghost, Raising Kanan, BMF. I know 50 fuck with you too. I know you fuck with the core DJs.
Yeah, it's my guy. He mad at me right now, but that's my okay. guy. I love, that's my brother though. Yahweh, that's my brother, though, for sure, for sure. He's a genius. Well, Sam, because a lot of this personal attachment. Sam, BMF. Damn, Sam again.
BMF, Raising Kanan, Power.
I'm going to cut Power.
Okay.
I'm going to cut Power. Damn. I'm going to, Raising Kanan is on another level. So I'm going to develop BMF.
Mm, so you going to sign Kanan?
Yeah.
I fuck with you for that. That's
yeah,
dope.
Yeah, for sure.
You been to Southside before?
What?
Queens.
Southside Queens.
Have I been there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you a question. Hold on. He just asking who you pick.
Not for real.
Kanan is Southside Queens.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He's from Queens. So anytime Queens come up,
as you should. As you should.
I got to ask that.
Like the Queens, Brooklyn shit. Is like.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you three. Thriller? Purple Rain, Confessions.
God damn. You asked me to cut one?
Yeah. You a DJ, you got to.
Damn.
He's DJ, his answers matter.
I'm from the crib, so let me start at the top.
Purple Rain.
If I got to cut something, damn, I can't cut either one of them.
No.
I say, I can't do that. I can't cut Confessions. Definitely can't cut Purple Rain. Let me see. Y'all asking me to do this?
Yes.
Usher. Nigga, you my guy. Ain't no way. Confessions. I got to cut Confessions.
Whoa. Oh.
By the way, I don't think Usher would be probably mad at that. Because those are only two albums that I
the comparison even had them in the same conversation that's with them two.
That's the compliment.
That's
having
crazy.
Them in the same conversation.
Just being in the same comment. But Purple Rain and Thriller?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Now I gotta ask you a question. What's a better album? Purple Rain or Thriller?
Make it harder.
I'm like, this is really, cause it's like, I've thought about that. I think.
Thriller.
Future didn't remake Thriller.
Thriller is. Okay, cool. Cause I was gonna say, I always thought Thriller, but I went and looked at Purple Rain and I'm like,
Purple Rain is crazy. You got to be a cult.
Purple Rain don't have a skip either.
You have to be a cult. You got to understand Prince to like mm-hmm. Prince like you like.
Uh-huh. I wanted to name my favorite Apple
on it. Her mom
was pissed. She was like, we're not naming my son. We're going to name my daughter Apple.
Yeah, you're the fucking up with that one.
I want to name her Apple. And she was like, we're not naming her Apple. I was like,
you were just grooming her for a strip, huh? Like, right. Fuck it, huh?
That was already a dope ass name.
You was just grooming her for Onyx and shit, fuck it.
It does sound like Onyx, man.
You was grooming her for Onyx and shit. Okay, right. Fuck it. All
right. Hold on, Tony, we got a couple
more. No, wait, listen. Okay. We're talking about the
purpose. Drop Confessions.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
You drop Confessions. Now, what are you, you're developing Thriller or you're developing Purple Rain?
Purple Rain.
And we signed a Thriller. Okay, I got a couple more for you. Swag Surfing. Wobble With It, Cupid Shuffle, three of your babies.
Well, you already know this motherfucker's 6 million, so right. I'm gonna keep Cupid Shuffle up there. I'm gonna have to develop Wobble.
You gonna drop swag?
No, 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 no. I'm sorry. I'm backwards. I'm sorry. I'm gonna drop Wobble, and I'm developed. I can't. Ooh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me take that back. Let me take that back.
Let me start over. Dang. Taylor Swift just swag surf 2 days ago. Just
nigga, everybody keep a shuffle on too. Damn. Nah, you know what? Cupid. Damn, nigga. Listen, we got development on the Cupid shuffle. Swag surfing is up
top.
Yeah, and then I would say wobble because I took that off the album and just started doing it. It was gone.
They weren't gonna do nothing.
That came
like 3 or 4 years later. That album, he was probably
driving. No. Damn, nigga, it was doing Get Silly with y'all.
Yes, Get Silly. Yep.
He was in the room with y'all. The same room. It was Get Silly. It was Wave, and it was Ain't I. Yep. Same room. Yep. And then they came back with the Wawa record, and they tried to push it like Zydeco or something, and that shit didn't work. And I got the shit off the album and had these girls at the wedding do this dance to it. And then I took it back to the club on New Year's Eve.
You went viral before viral.
I called this nigga, and they had already dropped him off Warner.
Mm. I said, bro. Dropped when that record started.
Yeah, I was like, dog, listen. Nah, he was dropped. I just started playing it.
Yeah.
I was trying to create another Cupid Shuffle.
Question, did Warner have the record or did he have the record?
No, Warner had. He already got. They kept all the masters. They let him go because they let him didn't go. Do what it was supposed to do.
And I so know. I called Kali. I called Smurf. I said, "Well, Smurf, Kali Park." I called him. Said, "Hey, man, what's up with that dude? Where the fuck is the cat Vic?" He said, "Man, I dropped. They got dropped. He dropped. I don't talk to him. He got dropped." So well, you better undrop this nigga. And I took a video. I took a video of the floor. 2010 going into 2011, New Year's Eve. And I took a video of the floor. I said, look at this shit. Pat! I said, it's another one, bro. It's another cute. I know because I done two of them already. I was in on one. I did one personally, and here's another one I'm doing. I said, it's another one.
You better undrop that.
No, that's a fact.
That shit is platinum. Probably more than that.
What's that?
Wobble. Like
four.
Okay, I'm just going on streaming alone, just on Spotify.
Four million.
I got two more I'm gonna do. Just because Tony's a legend, I gotta get this from him. Alright, cool. So one of my main ones, so I'm gonna ask you two. The first one is Ready to Die, Reasonable Doubt, Illmatic.
Ready to Die. What else?
Illmatic, Reasonable Doubt. Jay-Z, Nas, and Biggie first set debut albums.
Ready to Die.
Somebody has to go.
Debut.
Those are all the debut albums.
Man, nigga. I'm going to tell you, bro. God damn. What was the first one?
Reasonable Doubt.
Reasonable Doubt.
Ready to Die. Illmatic.
Yeah, nah. I had to go on.
$20.
Yeah,
I expect that. Mm. Yeah. Now they're gonna get Chick-fil-A. They're gonna get McDonald's. Chick-fil-A tomorrow. Uncle Tony.
I got one more.
The College Dropout, Get Rich or Die Trying, and Doggy Style.
Whew.
Three debut albums for three legends that are still here.
Get Rich or Die Trying is and Doggy Style, man.
College Dropout.
Nah, hell nah. Can't drop College Dropout either. Yeah, I'm back in the motherfucking pot.
By the way, Tony, you are a gentleman and a scholar.
That's all fucked right. up. I can't. We're gonna make
sure
you asked me to pick between College Dropout, Ready to Die, and Doggy Style, man. I was there watching this nigga walk in the lobby. At Jack the Rapper when this they niggas was falling out. It was niggas.
For Snoop.
Yes, man. When the debut of that, when that nigga came in to the lobby of the mix of Jack the Rapper, when that weekend album was coming out, it was insane. Now, that's one thing I had never seen happen with a hip hop debut, witnessing myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I was also there when the fights broke out, when they had the snipers on the roof. I was there for the whole shit. Now, I wasn't really even in the industry like that. I was just DJing, but I started going to conferences with Jack the Rapper.
So watching
Oh, man.
That's why I said I had to go classic.
Nah, fucking crazy,
so
man. Listen,
so, Tony, we have this segment where we call this, and this segment is presented by Two Laws. We call this Credit Check, where we give people like yourself, because everybody always say give them their flowers. Not, as a Virgo, I hate that. I want no flowers. Flowers represents when I die. I want my credit because I can take my credit and leverage it and go get something.
I grow
else.
My own flowers.
I can buy my own flowers. But credit has to be.
That's a fact.
Yeah, something that we have to share in. So, who are two or three unsung heroes in the Tony Neal story that you like? Man, shout out to them.
Damn, you know who? two or three?
Yeah.
Well, one is Dorian Washington.
Okay.
Dorian Washington, my boy Dorian, for sure. He came up in the core, and I watched him become an exec in the different things that he does, and that's one unsung.
Okay.
Two, Teron.
That's dope.
Nah, for real. He's supposed to been had this credited. Nah, for real. Teron for sure, like unsung shit, nigga, for real. And that's from people watching from the outside,
yeah,
looking.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Damn. And I'm talking about people from my era that was with me, like, you know, unsung heroes. Damn, because a lot of the cats that I think are unsung was sung once before. And they reinvented themselves.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I got a
can
two.
I give you a third one I want to give credit to?
Oh.
Your wife.
Oh,
you know why?
Yeah.
Because I seen you develop into like the nicer version of Tony, and I know that's because you had a woman in your life that was nurturing you.
She made me. She made me realize a lot of, in a subtle way.
Yeah.
She gave me peace.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't have peace,
and I could see that. That's why I want to shout out. Cause I could see that.
You know, my shit was turmoil. I fuck with all these bitches. I ain't got to buy no whole bunch of Christmas gifts. A bunch of bitches.
It's definitely cheaper.
It's definitely cheaper.
Way cheaper.
I ain't got to buy no bunch of Valentine's.
She don't want you to spend a lot of money.
I ain't
got to
duck off on Valentine's Day. Yeah. And shit. Nah, but for real, Nah, she gave me peace of mind. You know, that's it. Peace of mind to realize that certain shit ain't that serious. And that's definitely her. You know what I'm saying?
Tamir, could you do me a favor? I want to ask him a couple of the questions we spoke earlier. Because now that we're here, mm-hmm. I want to have the interviews. I want to have fun with Tony now.
Okay.
I want to play the game. I want to do what me and him wanted to do.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay, is Drake hip hop, bro?
Hell yeah. Y'all crazy.
So you see what Mos Def said? He said Drake's not hip hop.
I fuck with Death, but he's tripping. Mm. Man, come on. Come on. It's like, could you have commercial success? That don't mean you're not hip hop. That's wild. You saying Wayne not hip hop?
Nah, Wayne's hip hop.
Okay, what you talking about? That sounds crazy. I'm not tripping. I mean, why wouldn't he be hip hop? He don't live hip hop. What would you call him? I don't understand. What you call him? What's your definition of hip hop? What are you talking about? Like, this nigga is hip hop. What? Bar for bar, like nigga, he's hip hop. What? Because he's accepted.
That
because
didn't mean he wasn't hip hop. He said, I think he meant he wasn't part of, like, he's not.
What? Melly Mel, nigga? The fuck is he? He not going rock. What the fuck he need to be doing? What that nigga need to be doing?
Yeah.
He's right. What do he need to do? What do he need to do? The nigga is hip hop. Fucking right, he did. Nigga, yes, he did.
He does still.
Niggas, there's nobody that done it like Drake.
You don't think Kanye?
Nobody done it like Drake, man. And still, Drake to be Drake. Drake is a noun now, nigga.
It's a verb too.
Yeah,
he's
nigga.
Trying to be Drake. That means he's trying to be successful. It's a verb.
Nigga,
too.
Drake is Drake. Oh, nigga, it's yeah. Like shit. You got R&B. You got pop music. You got hip hop. You got Drake.
He's everything. That's he's all things.
How do you feel about sample culture right now? That's a big conversation. What happened?
Shit, been the same since James Brown was getting sampled by motherfucker Eric B. and Rakim. It's the same shit. It's just people more aware because of the internet.
How you feel about these artists that are complaining that people like you don't support them in their new journey that they're starting?
So too many of them.
So the niggas quit?
It's too many.
Too many artists.
It's too many of them. It's more that complain.
We got more artists than fans.
No, for real. It's more that complain than more that's working. And so I don't listen to the niggas that's complaining all the time. I came up with niggas. I used to hide that I was the CEO of the core the first 2 years of the core because I didn't want to hear niggas saying I could put them on. Nigga, I used to be, my name was in the roster down at the bottom, like in the middle, like DJ Tony Neal. That was the niggas just thought I was in the core. They didn't know I started the core until 06 when the whole shit happened with the DJ choking up Young Buck, choking up the fucking DJ down here.
Yeah.
Niggas, then they called me.
At the Dirty Awards, right?
Called my ass on some like, yeah, because the Game One Blood record was the one, the biggest records out. And dude was dropping that record in Young Buck and then was having beef with motherfucking Game. Mm-hmm. He was trying to be loyal to the system, you know, to G-Unit. And he called himself choking up the DJ. You better not play that shit no more. And then bam, you know, it turned into a whole thing. But, and they made me the whole monarch of like, what are we going to do, Tony Neal? I'm like, I'm trying to chill. I ain't want to be in that shit. You know, I didn't want to be that nigga like pointing at like this nigga got this kind of power because that shit comes with different responsibility. When you can say, all right, we ain't going to play that nigga shit for a month. And it happens. Mm-hmm. Oh, that powers that be you talking about don't like that shit.
Yeah, I already know.
They don't like that shit. You can just call out and say, I'm on the phone with 250 niggas arguing about what we should do. And Young Buck said, the coldest shit to me, man, after the whole shit broke out. First of all, Jimmy Iovine called my house.
Oh, wow.
Nobody got my house number.
You called the house.
Damn.
Where crazy. I'm from, you know what I'm saying?
Bill collect the shit.
That's right. The principal is calling.
How can we fix this, Tony? Tony, man, I how can we fix this? Mm. You know, I'm gonna send Buck to Milwaukee at the club and he brought Scrappy with him because Money in the Bank got fucked up behind that too.
Oh, wow.
And so, but the nigga Buck said the coldest shit. He said, Tone, that was real honorable what you did for that DJ. He said, but the nigga, did he at least say thank you?
Oh, wow. Mm.
That changed my whole perspective about DJs, man. That nigga said that to me because that nigga didn't.
Because the DJ didn't.
Man. He didn't. He just went on about his, got a little payment, whatever fuck they gave him, went on about his way.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.